The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Lerfuas Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En Narefanalo, En Narefanalo, En Narefanalo, Betok She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihenna Began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with Arichut Yamim, health, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be Zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen.
Today's daf is being studied Le'alu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Ted Vav Amud Rishon, and we will start four lines from the top. We continue to discuss one more halakha in the laws of Kilayim, in the laws of Shatnez. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava Hanesirare Defshite. Serare is a bag. Defshite is coins. It seems the bag was made out of a material that had woolen linen. Now, they used to take the bag, fill it with coins, and they put it in their pocket. So the Gemara says, even though it's a woolen linen mixture, en behem mishum kilayim, it's not subject to the laws of kilayim. Why? Because when they put the coins in the bag, the coins make the bag hard, and therefore makes it stiff, and therefore it doesn't give chimum, it doesn't cause the body to become heated. The bizrane, however, the same bags if you use for seeds, bizrane, bizr, it's seeds, yesh baheh mishum kilayim, it is subject, because again, the bag will provide warmth. The seeds don't make it hard. Davashe amar ehad ze ve'had ze, en baheh mishum kilayim. Whether it's the pishiteh or whether it's the bizraneh, whatever you're putting in these bags, there's no problem of kilayim. The pishe'en derech chimum bekach, because that is not the normal manner of warming oneself. Now the Gemara goes further. Ava lo sandal humsumar. We learned in the Mishnah that it's forbidden to send a spiked sandal to one's friend on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Sandal Hamsumar Maita Amalo. What's the reason why the sandal that has the spikes may not be sent? Mishum Maase Shehaya. Because of the story that happened. Gemara on Shabbat relates a Maase that the Jewish people were hiding underground in a cave from the enemies, and they thought that the enemies were approaching, so they all scurried out of the cave. And they trampled each other with these sandals that had spikes on them. And therefore, the Hachamim forbade to wear these spike shoes on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. And therefore, one may not send them. So Kanza Gemaran says, Amar Abaye, Sandal Hamsumar, regarding this sandal with the spikes, Asur Lena'alo. The rabbis forbade wearing it on Yom Tov. Umutar letaltelo. However, they do allow you to move it. It's not mukseh. Because bottom line, it says the din avei keli. And therefore, for example, if a person needed to move it, the tzorech gufo or the tzorech mekomo, meaning he needs to use the shoe for something else, another permissible item, or he needs the place where the shoe is, it is permissible and it is not mukseh. So the Gemara says, Asur lena'alo mishum ma'aseh shehaya. The reason why it's forbidden to wear it is because of Maaseh Shaya, like we mentioned. Mutar letaltelo. How do we know that it's not mukseh? Medeketani, from the fact that the Mishnah says, En meshalechin. It says that one is not allowed to send it as a gift. En meshalechin. The isal kadatach asul letaltelo. Because if you wanted to tell me that it's forbidden, meaning it's mukseh, hashtad letaltule asur meshalechin mebaya. If it's forbidden to move it, because of mukseh, goes without saying that you can't send it. So from the fact that the Mishnah said it's only asur to send it, it's mashma that it itself is non-mukseh. So otherwise, the Mishnah would have said that it's asur l'taltel. From the fact that it says asur l'shloach, that means l'shloach is asur, but l'taltel is mutar. Come to Gemara continues, v'lo min al she'enu tafur. We said that a shoe that was unsewn, since it's not befitting to wear, one cannot send it to his friend on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Peshita. Of course, it has no use. Non etzrecha, tafagav denakit besiche. Which is, we're talking about a case where the shoe is attached with little wooden pegs. And therefore, I might have thought that those wooden pegs make the shoe viable. Kamash ma'alam, that still, it is not wearable, and therefore you cannot send it. Rabbi Yehuda omer, af lo min al lavan. Rabbi Yehuda said that you cannot send a white shoe. So the Gemara says, we explained why, because in the olden days they wouldn't wear white shoes. They would have a uman, a craftsman, come and blacken it. So therefore, since it's not ra'ui to wear as is, it's a sur to send. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shachor. Rabbi Yehuda permits to send a black shoe. Now, we're talking about a shoe over here that's black, but it's not totally black. And therefore, he's lenient, even though it's not fully black. Ve'osir be'lavam. However, he prohibits to send a white shoe. Be'penesh esarich betzat hagir. Because you need a clump of earth. Seems there was a certain clump of earth that was used as a blackening agent, and therefore a white shoe is not ra'ui because you need the betzat agid, the clump of earth. Rabbi Yosef oser b'shachor. Rabbi Yosef says even a black shoe that's not totally finished, you cannot send because even after you polish it, even after you shine it and make it black, there was still a process needed to smoothen it. So until it's smoothened, it's going to be asur. So now the Gemara says, Vela Pelige, which it seems now we have a machloket between the Biyuda and the Biyosef. Whereas the Biyuda says you can send a blackened shoe, even though it's not finished, and the Biyosef says it's asur. So the Gemara says there's no argument. Mor ki atre, umor ki atre. Each rabbi was talking about the custom in his place. Be'atre demor, in the place of Rabbi Yehuda that said it's mutar, besra letachat. Literally, the flesh of the side of the hide was facing inside the shoe. Which means when they would take the hide that was attached to the animal. So there's different... there's the top of it, and there's the bottom of it. So it seems the top part where the hair is does not need smoothing. But the bottom part that's attached to the flesh needs smoothing. So therefore the Gemara says it all depends on how they used to make the shoes. Again, in the place of the place of the hide that was attached to the flesh was facing down, so it wasn't seen. And therefore, you didn't need to smoothen the top. Therefore, it was mutar to send it. Whereas in the place of Rabbi Yosef, the flesh side was facing up. And therefore, since it wasn't smoothed, therefore it was going to be asur, because it's not considered complete. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ze'akelal, we learned in the Mishnah, kol she'no'otin bo b'yom tov, anything that may be used on Yom Tov, you can send it. So the Gemara now says, Rav Sheshat shara lehul rabbanan, Rav Sheshat permitted the rabbis, l'shidure tefillin b'yomat haba. He allowed to send tefillin on Yom Tov. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye says, what do you mean? Ve'anan tenan, we learned in the Mishnah, kol she'ne'otin bo b'yom tov, Meshalechin oto, which means whatever you may be used on Yom Tov, you can send. But tefillin, you don't wear on Yom Tov. So how could you tell me you're allowed to send it? So the Gemara says, Hachi kama. Now this is what the Mishnah means. Kol shene otin bo behol, anything that may be used even on a weekday, Mishalechin oto biyom tov, you may send it on Yom Tov. And therefore, since tefillin are ra'uy during the week, so therefore you can send it even on Yom Tov. So you have to read the Mishnah, kol shene'otin bo, mean anything that may be used, and then read into that during the week. The Yom Tov means you can send it on Yom Tov. And therefore, since tefillin can be worn during the week, you could send it on Yom Tov. The only question then is, we go back to the sandal hamsumar. We learned that the sandal hamsumar, the spike shoe, was forbidden to wear on Yom Tov, but you were allowed to wear it during the week. So the chaura, you should be allowed to send the spike shoe, even though it's forbidden for the day, but it's permissible during the week, based on this rule. So that she answers this question and says that if you would allow them to send the spike shoe on Yom Tov, the people would misinterpret and think that you're allowed actually to wear it as well on Yom Tov. And that indeed is asur. Masha'enkin, in the case of the tefillin, even if a person would wear tefillin on Yom Tov, while he doesn't have to wear the tefillin, it's not an isur. So therefore, again, we would not send the sandalam sumar, even though it is usable during the week, because it would send the wrong message. The people would think that it's permissible to wear it as well, if they're getting it as a gift. And therefore, sandalam sumar is going to be unequivocally asur. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, tefillin, Ho'il ve'atu liyadan. Since the subject of tefillin has come up in the Bet Midrash, ne'ema mehu milta. Let me say a hadush about them. Haya ba baderech u'tefillin b'rosho. A person, let's say, was on the road. It was, let's say, Erev Shabbat. And he was wearing the tefillin. Ve'sha'aka alav hama. And all of a sudden, he notices that the sun is setting. Now, really, you're not supposed to wear tefillin on Shabbat. So it says, maniyach yadu alehem. A person, he could put his hand over the tefillin ad shemagia lebeto, until he reaches his house. Which means, once he gets to his house, then he could take the tefillin and he can take them off and put them in his house. Now, the reason why he has to cover his tefillin is so the people will not see him wearing them. Because really, wearing tefillin would be a problem of chotza'ah. And therefore, the logic would be that let's read Rashi, where he says, Maniyah yado alehem. Rashi says, Maniyah yado alehem, shelo yir'um. Because we don't want people to see him. V'chachamim hetiru lo, l'chnisam la'ir derech malbush. The rabbis, however, allowed you to bring it into the city while wearing them. Because since you are not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbat, so the wearing them is considered not the normal transporting of them, so it's ha'avarak l'achar yad, or mishum b'zayon, for the b'zayon of the tefillin, the hachamim were lenient. So again, the first thing is if a person's wearing his tefillin and he comes home, he's walking home and it's already the sun sets, halacha says he should cover his tefillin and continue walking until he gets home. The Gemara gives a second case. Haya yoshev bebet ha-midrash. A person was sitting in the bet ha-midrash, utfilin berosho, and he had a tefillin on his head, Erev Shabbat, v'kiddesh alav hayom. And now the day of Shabbat came in, again, maniyach yado alehen, ad shemagiyah lebeto. He covers his hand over the tefillin, again, and he's allowed to walk them home, again, because we don't want them to be placed in Bizayon, so he can walk them home till he gets to his house. Mativ Ravuna Bered Rav Ika. Ravuna Bered Rav Ika asks a question. It says, Haya ba baderech utfilin berosho. Which means a person was walking on the road on Erev Shabbat, and the tefillin was on his head. V'kiddesh alav hayom. And now the Shabbat came in. Maniach yado alehem. He put his hand over the tefillin. Ad shemagiyah labayit hasamuch lachoma. Until he gets to the house closest to the city wall. Which means you can't walk them all the way home to your house. You have to leave them in the house that's closest to the city wall, and you deposit them there. The first statement said you could walk them all the way home. היה יושב בבית המדרש, a person was in the midrash, וקדש עליו היום, מניח ידו עליהם, he puts his hands on his tefillin, עד שמגיע לבית הסמוך לבית המדרש, until he gets to the house that's protected closest to the בית המדרש. So again, the question is, Abaye, you allowed to walk the tefillin all the way home, but from this bright, that's mashma, you're only allowed to walk to the closest house by the beginning of the city, and not all the way home, with the closest house next to the Beit Midrash. So the Gemara says, to answer this question, Lakasha, no question. Ha de mintera, ha de lo mintera. It depends if the closest house is protected. If the closest house is protected, meaning if you take off the tefillin and put them in the closest house, so the tefillin will be guarded. So of course, why should you have to carry them a longer distance? However, we're talking about a case, Abaye, de lo mintera, meaning if the closest house to the border of the city is unprotected, so then already we let you carry it all the way home. So that's the Gemara's initial answer. Had the mintera, if it's mintera, meaning protected, so take them off the closest house. If that house is not protected, you can walk them all the way home. Gemara says, I de lo mintera. If we're talking about a case that's unprotected, my idiya birosho, why did the Gemara have to give a case where the tefillin was on his head? Afilu mahtan be'ara'a nameh. The halacha says, even if on Shabbat one finds tefillin lying on the ground in a place that's unprotected, you can actually put them on. So again, if it's talking about an unprotected area, why did Abaye limit the case if he was wearing them already? It should be a case. If it's not protected, he could even put them on if he found them. How do we know that? Because we learned the Masechet Erubin, the Hatinan. We learned in the Mishnah, Motze Tefillin. If a person finds several pairs of Tefillin, let's say in a field, Machnisan Zug Zug, he can bring them in to the city, one pair at a time. Which means you could keep on repeating this procedure until you get all the Tefillin in. So the Gemara's question is, if it's lo mintera, so seemingly it should be permissible, even to wear them lechetechila. So the Gemara answers, la kashya, no question. Ha de mintera mahmad ganneve u mahmad kalbe. The braita that said, put the tefillin in the closest house to the end of the city, it's talking where that house will protect the tefillin from ganavei thieves and from dogs. Had mintera mahmat kalbe. Whereas according to Abaye, that said you could take the tefillin to one's home, it's talking about where the closest house, while it protects it from dogs. Velo mintera mahmat ganavei. But it's not going to protect it from thieves. So again, now the Gemara is making a chiluk. The Gemara is saying, if the house that's closest to the city, if it can be protected, the tefillin, from gannaveh, from thieves, and from kalbeh, from dogs, then of course one should deposit the tefillin in that place. However, if the closest house by the end of the city can only protect the tefillin from dogs, but not from thieves, so then already you can go all the way home. So the Gemara says, why would I think otherwise? Ma'o detema rov listim Yisrael ninu velo mezalzele behu. Which means I would say that most thieves in that area are Jews, and they're not going to desecrate the tefillin if you leave it in the closest house. Kamash ma'alan, that you cannot rely on that. And therefore, in the closest house, if it's not protected from ganavim, you cannot assume that Jewish thieves will not defile the tefillin. Therefore, you're allowed to take it all the way home. Now, let's read Rashi on the bottom. Vashmi'inan abaye, do'il velo mintera mahmat ganaveh. Since it's not protected from thieves in the outer house, me'achar shein b'roshu, since they're on his head already, yolichim ad beto. However, if you found them on the floor, let's say, shem nishmarim min kelabim, and they're protected from kelabim and not from ganavim, lo yizizem mimekoman. So there's a bigger leniency if a person is wearing the tefillin already. If he's wearing the tefillin, so Abaye gives him a dispensation to protect him from kalbe and ganaveh. And therefore he could walk into the close, not to the closest house, but he can walk it all the way home. If the house closest to the end of the city does not provide it. If, for example, the house closest to the city only protects from kalbe. However, if you find tefillin on the floor, then already we're only lenient to put it in a place, to wear them, take them to a place that is nishmar from kalbe, but not ganabe. Well, actually, you weren't even allowed to move them. I take that back. But she says, aval im tza'an sham b'mkoman, she'em nishmarim min ha'kelavim lo yizizem b'mkoman. But if you find them in a place that's protected from kelavim, you shouldn't even pick them up. Leave them there. So the dispensation is if you're wearing it, we're more lenient to take it to a place that's nishmar from kalbe and ganabe. That's where you could walk it all the way home if the house on the outskirts does not provide both this protection. And the chiddush is that even though I might think that the majority of the ganavim are Jews and they won't defile the tefillin, you have to suspect that they will, and therefore you could take it all the way home. Hadran alach betza. And now we begin the second perek of Masechet Betza. Our perek primarily discusses a case where Yom Tov comes before Shabbat. Hakamim forbade us to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat. The Gemara will give us the reasons why it's Asur, and they necessitated the person to make an Eruv Tavshilin. And we will discuss what an Eruv Tavshilin is, and that will allow him to cook from Friday Yom Tov to Shabbat. So our Mishnah now is going to discuss the parameters of this halakha. Yom Tov Shehaliyot Erev Shabbat. Yom Tov falls out on Friday. Yibashil Betechila Miyom Tov the Shabbat. A person is not allowed to cook Lechetechila from Yom Tov to Shabbat. Aval Yibashil Hu LeYom Tov. He may cook for Yom Tov. Ve'im Hotir Hotir LeShabbat. If he has leftovers, of course he can use the leftovers for Shabbat. Now he would not be allowed to do a trick, which means he cannot cook extra on Yom Tov, specifically knowing that he's going to use it for Shabbat. But if, by chance, he happens to have leftover food that he cooked on Friday Yom Tov, he can use it on Shabbat. Now, the Mishnah discusses now the Eruv Tavshilin. Ve'oseh Tavshil Me'erev Yom Tov. A person, let's say, can prepare a dish before Yom Tov, and he designates it as his Eruv Tavshilin, V'somech Alav Shabbat. And he can rely on this to cook from Friday, Yom Tov, to Shabbat. Bet Shammai Omrim Shnei Tavshilin. Bet Shammai says the Eruv has to consist of two cooked dishes. Or Bet Hillel Omrim Tavshil Echad. Bet Hillel says it can even be one cooked dish. V'shavin, both agree. Bedag U'betza She'alav. With a fish. And let's say it has an egg spread on it. She'en Shnei Tavshilin. That would be considered two cooked dishes. The Mishnah continues. Achalo. If let's say somebody ate the Eruv before one made the preparations for Shabbat, or she'avad, or the Eruv got lost, lo yivashel alav b'techila. So one may not cook for Shabbat. V'mshiyir memenu kolchehu. However, if there's even a kolchehu, even any part of the Eruv Tavshin left intact, the Shabbat. You can rely on it to cook for Shabbat. Comes the Gemara now and explains. What is the source for the halakha that you need an Eruv Tavshilin? Now again, it should be pointed out that she says, even though the Gemara is asking, it's not looking for a biblical source, that she says, the Eruv Tavshilin, the Rabbanan. Because really the law of Eruv Tavshilin is only with the Rabbanan. This is the question. Where did the rabbis put their simicha, which means asmachta? Where did the rabbis find an allusion in the Torah to the concept of Eruv Tavshilin? So the Gemara says, Amar Shemuel. The Amar Kiram, because the Pasuk says, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat leKadesho. Right? The Torah tells us they have to remember the Shabbat. Now, the simple explanation that the rabbis learned from this Pasuk, they learned the obligation of Kiddush. Zochreu bedevarim, that you have to make kiddush. That's how you remember the Shabbat. But the Gemara over here makes a different derashah and says Zochreu me'acher sheba lehashkicho. Remember the Shabbat from something that will try to make you forget the Shabbat. The Torah is going out of its way and saying, listen, you have to remember the Shabbat from a case where the Shabbat will be in danger of being forgotten. Rashi on the fourth line. Zochreu me'acher sheba lehashkicho. Kesheba yom tov be'erev Shabbat, when yom tov falls out on Friday, karov Shabbat lehishtakeyach. Well, Shabbat is close to being forgotten, machmat yom tov. Why? Shemarbe b'seudat hayom, because everybody's eating excessively on yom tov. Ve'enu maniach leShabbat kol kevodo, kede kevodo. And the people are not going to leave any food over for the Shabbat. Ve'zidecha katuv lezochro. Torah says, hey, you got to remember the Shabbat. When you start preparing foods from before Yom Tov for Shabbat, that'll cause you to remember the Shabbat. The whole reason why we're telling you to make the Eruv before Yom Tov is so you'll be reminded that don't get lost in the Yom Tov. Remember to save some food for the Shabbat. So again, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. How do you remember the Shabbat? In light of a case where the Shabbat can be forgotten. And that's when Shabbat follows Yom Tov. How do you remember it? You set up the Aruf Tavshidim, which will remind you not to use all your food and to save some food for Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Maitama, what is the reason? Which means, Rashi says, Lama tiknu Aruf. Why did they establish or need the Aruf? Kra vaday lav be'aruf mishtai. The Pasuk is definitely not talking about the Aruf. Ve'lav Aruf mishtama mineh. The pasuk is really coming to tell us a case of kiddush. So therefore, what's the real reason behind the eruv? So the Gemara now is going to give two reasons. Gemara says two rabbinical reasons. Amar Rava, kedei sheyivror maneh yafeh leShabbat umaneh yafeh liYom Tov. Like we said, so he will remember to set aside a portion for the Shabbat and a portion for the Yom Tov. Since he has to establish the Eruv Tavshirin, he's going to remember that the Shabbat is following Yom Tov, and therefore he's not going to consume all his food on Yom Tov. He's going to set some food aside. So again, Rabbah's reason is Kavod Shabbat. We don't want a person to get lost in the Simcha of Yom Tov and not leave any food over for Shabbat. So by making him an established Eruv before Yom Tov, he'll remember that this is a situation where the Shabbat is following the Yom Tov, and therefore he will not eat all his food. Comes the Gemara gives another reason. Asher Amar Kedeh Sheyomeru. So the people will say, En Ofim Mi Yom Tov LeShabbat. They'll say, wow, you're not allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbat. Kal Vachomer Mi Yom Tov LeHol. Or the more so, I cannot bake from Yom Tov to Chol, which means if I cannot bake from Yom Tov to Shabbat, even the Chabot Shabbat, I cannot bake on Yom Tov, Kosheken, I cannot bake from Yom Tov to Chol. And therefore, you see that according to Rav Asher, the logic is Kavod Yom Tov. We don't want people to be Mezalzil by Yom Tov. So therefore, they're going to say, oh, they made me prepare a whole Eruv before Yom Tov to allow me to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So certainly I'm not going to be allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. So it's really to preserve the sanctity of Yom Tov. So that's the machlok fi Nava and Rav Asher. Tinan, we learned in the Mishnah. Ose tavshil me'erev Yom Tov desomech alav leShabbat. So we said, when do you prepare the Eruv? You prepare the Eruv from before Yom Tov. And you rely on that for Shabbat. Bishlam al Rav Asher. Point of Asher the Amar, Kedei sheyomru en ofim yom tov leShabbat. According to Rav Asher, that said, the reason why he established the Eruv Tavshilin is in order to keep the sanctity of Yom Tov, which means so the people will know that I had to start preparing. I made the Eruv Tavshilin from before Yom Tov. So that will remind me that I'm not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat. That's why I had to make the Eruv from before Yom Tov. to remind me that I have to start my preparations for Shabbat from before Yom Tov, to teach me that I cannot cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, so I'll remember that I cannot cook from Yom Tov to Chol. That explains why the Eruv should be made before Yom Tov. Hainu, the Me'erev Yom Tov, in. That's why we established the Eruv before Yom Tov. Be Yom Tov, no. But you don't establish it on Yom Tov itself. Which means, by establishing the Eruv Me'erev Yom Tov, it's as if I'm starting my Shabbat preparations Me'erev Yom Tov. So that will teach me that I cannot go from Yom Tov to Shabbat. I have to prepare from before. That will remind me the sanctity of Yom Tov. The Gemara says, Ela l'Rava. But according to Rava, that the whole reason is so I set aside food for Shabbat, so I keep the kavod of Shabbat. My iriyam me'erev Yom Tov. Why does the Mishnah say that I have to set the eruv up from before Yom Tov? Afilu b'Yom Tov nameh. Let him set it up before he eats his holiday meal, which means before he sits down to eat on Yom Tov, let him set two tefshinin on the side, so he will be reminded not to eat all his food b'chvod Shabbat. So the Gemara says, in hechen nameh. You're right. According to Rava, you'd really be allowed to set the Eruv Tavshin on Friday Yom Tov. The concern is that you might forget to do it. You're going to be so concerned and preoccupied in some hot Yom Tov, you might forget to set the Eruv up. And therefore, we make you set it on Erev Yom Tov. So let's review. According to Rava, the whole purpose of the Eruv is what? So I don't eat all my food. So I have leftovers, so I have some, I'm reminded not to eat all my food, and I'll save some for Shabbat. So according to Rava, technically you could set the Eruv on Yom Tov before you sit down to eat, put two tefshinin on the side, so you'll remember Kavod Shabbat. Rava says, you're right, but we just do that because he might forget to do it on Yom Tov, because he's going to be preoccupied in some Chag Yom Tov. According to Rav Asher, it makes a lot of sense why you have to set the Eruv before Yom Tov, because the whole purpose of the Eruv is to teach me that I cannot cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, therefore I have to start the cooking from Erev Yom Tov. It would not be an option to prepare the Eruv on Yom Tov itself. Comes the Gemara and says, so this was the opinions of the Amoraim, Rava and Rav Asher. V'tana maiti la mehacha. There's a Tana that has a different source, different asmachta, for the purpose of Eruv Tavshili. And they learn it from, this Tana actually learns it from the Pasuk, et asher tofu efu, et asher tebashelu bashelu. So now, but there's talking by the man, right? The man that fell on Friday. It says, what needs to be baked, bake. What needs to be cooked, cook. But it seems there's a redundancy of language here. The Torah could just say, tofu ubashelu. What does it have to say? It asher if tofu efu. It needs to be baked, baked. It needs to be cooked, cooked. So the Gemara says, Mika'an amar bi Eliezer, en ofin, ela al ha'afui, ve'en bebashelin, ela al mevushal. Mika'an samchu hachamim, le'ruvet tabshelin min ha'Torah. It's coming to tell you that what? It asher tofu. That you can only bake on Friday Yom Tov ash efu, which means only stuff that you baked from before Yom Tov will allow you to continue baking on Yom Tov for Shabbat. Ve'et asher tebashelu, and that which you have cooked from before Yom Tov, bashelu, will allow you to continue cooking on Yom Tov. So therefore, from the double language, we learn the concept of Eruv Tavshilin. Again, from the fact that it says, et asher tofu efu, which means what was baked from before Yom Tov, now you can continue baking on Yom Tov. Because it's as if you're continuing from Erev Yom Tov to cook for Shabbat. And that's the source for this Tana. Now, the Gemara brings a Braita. Taru Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer. There was a story with Rabbi Eliezer. Shaya yoshev v'doresh kol hayom kolo b'ilchot Yom Tov. He was sitting in the Beit Midrash on Yom Tov, and he was learning and teaching the laws of Yom Tov. Yatzta kat rishona. In the middle of the lecture, a group got up and left. Amar, he said, halalu ba'ale pitpasin. These people are the owners of barrels, which means they have barrels of kunditin, that spiced wine. And therefore, they're going home early so they can indulge in simchat yom tov. And they're giving up from the pleasures of Torah, and they're involving themselves in physical pleasures. Which means since they're leaving early, he figured that they have a lot of wine to drink. Ba'ale pitasin. Achiniya. When the second group left, Amar halalu ba'ale habiyot. These are the owners of kegs, which is smaller. Kachilishit. Amar halalu ba'ale chadin. These are the owners of jugs. Katribi'it. When the fourth group left, Amar halalu ba'ale laginin. These are the owners of flasks. Kat hamishit. When the fifth group left, Amar halalu ba'ale chosot. These people only have cups. They don't have so much wine. Hitchilu kat shishit laset. When the sixth group left, Amar halalu ba'ale me'era. This group is from the cursed people. Well, they explain here the desolate. It's because by them leaving, now the study hall was empty. So we call them the desolate people. Now, there were some students that remained. Now, there's Natan Enav Batalmidin. Rabbi Eliezer looked at the remaining students. Hitchilu pinehem mishtanin. Their faces began to pale. They got nervous. They thought that maybe Rabbi Eliezer was mad at them for maybe staying late and not going and having some hot Yom Tov. So they thought that when Rabbi Eliezer criticized the sixth group, it was because they were staying late and not going home for some hot Yom Tov. So after the sixth group left, they thought Rabbi Eliezer might be mad at them for also staying late and not going home for some hot Yom Tov. Amar lahem, he said, no, you misunderstood me. Banai, lo lahem ani omer. I'm not upset at you. Ela lahalalu shiyatsu. I'm upset at the people that left. Shemanihim haya olam. They're leaving the Torah, which brings eternity. Ve'oskim b'hayesha'a. They're involved in temporary things, like eating and drinking. B'sha'at b'tiratan amar lahem. Before Rabbi Eliezer left, he quoted the following pasuk to them. Lechu echlu mashmanim, ushtu mamtakim. Go home and eat rich foods and drink sweet beverages. Veshilchu manot le'en nachonno. And send portions to those who are not prepared. Ki kadosh hayom ladonenu. Because today is sacred to Hashem. Ve'al ta'atzebu. Do not be melancholy or upset. Because the joy of Hashem is your security. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen.